righty, folks. It is that time of the week again for the Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic Show. I am your host, Mark Delaney Crew Wheeler, and 14 days, y'all. I mean, 13 to wake up for me, because I'm leaving Wednesday night for the Boondoggle. So if you don't know about the Boondoggle, you know, living underneath the rock isn't the best way of putting it. You're basically, you know, on the moon. Okay, folks, what is the Boondoggle? Boondoggle is a great time to have to come on down to a location, i.e. warm for February, to catch some monster fish, or just to go fishing, period. I plan on catching monster fish, so there. Basically, you know, come on down. It's February 17th to the 20th. We have a couple of spots open for the campsites. It's at Chokoloskee Island Park. You know, basically have some drink, paddle around. This is a great opportunity, folks, if you're just starting off or you know someone who's just starting off and you have some time off from work to come on down and paddle around, test out boats, go fishing. Do what we all love to do. You know, we've got some odd 30 people planning on paddlers that we know of that are going to show up along with special guests and raffles and everything else. So it's going to be a good time, y'all. And with that, let's get to the phones. I've got Bill Haywood Howard. What's going on, man?
How you doing tonight?
Doing okay, man. Hanging in there. How's Tampa?
It's going good, but I have to admit, I called in tonight thinking it was Thursday.
Yeah. It's been one of those weeks. I think the next 2 weeks are going to be like that for everyone. You know, is it the 15th yet? Is it the 16th yet? Come on, 16th, you know.
So, can't get here quick enough.
Tell me about it, man. Tell me about it. But, man, it's a pleasure having you on. And then
I'm going to sit here and listen. I might be in the chat room, but if I drop off the line, I'll join back because I am expecting another phone call and some stuff. I'm working for the Boondoggle, so.
Not a problem, man. Do what you got to do. All right. And then on the other line, we have the Godfather, the original Chip Treehugger Gibson, host of the Thursday night original show, Kayak Fishing Radio. What's going on, man?
I'm here, man. I'm here. I'm bumming because I just saw the thing about Hammerhead not being able to make it down for the trip. Totally bummed.
Yeah, you know, for y'all that don't know, Hammerhead, Greg Crisp, is a long. He's our northern exposure Boondoggle man. He comes all the way down pretty much every year, every Boondoggle, from New Hampshire. And it's a major loss that he can't, you know, come, but he does have to put food on the table for his family, and that always has to come first, if you know what I mean, folks. You know, you'll be sure, you know, Greg, I know you're in the chat room. You'll be sorely missed. There we go. And we'll drink one and catch one for you, man. All right. Basically, tonight's show, folks, we're going to talk about the Boondoggle. Like I said, it's 2 weeks out. Some things you might want to know and keep in mind. We're starting to get those 15-day, you know, weather forecasts. The guessers are guessing, you know, to the greatest ability, even though the greatest ability sometimes sucks. But let's talk about the weather. And I can't stress this enough, folks. If you're coming from, you know, anywhere north of the equator, basically – it's going to be a shock to your system, okay? Granted, we've had a really mild winter. Hell, it was 75 today in Virginia Beach. But getting down there, it's going to be a little humid. It's going to be buggy, most likely. And it's going to have a serious amount of heat, 80s, possibly 90 degrees. So what does that mean? That means you're going from winter climates where it's 30 degrees, you're wearing pants, you're wearing a jacket, to shorts, flip-flops, and tank tops, okay? Or if you're like me, you go Speedo. So, you know, you just never know what you might just want to break out. Personally, folks, for the sake of everyone, no Speedos. I'm going to keep my Speedo at home for the sake of everyone else. So, you know, that's the kind of weather we're looking at here, folks. You know, along with that, you know, there is a bodily function that when you go from hot to cold, okay, like that, you're going to naturally sweat a lot. It's going to feel twice as hot as it naturally is than if you came down there, you know, if it was already 90 degrees where you're from to get to there. You know, you won't feel as bad, but you folks, trust me, you will feel the difference. Give you an idea, I was training in Northern California when I was in the Marine Corps. It was cold all the time. I went from there to Yuma, Arizona. Folks, I went from 30-degree weather to 110 degrees in the shade. I about died. I could not put the water away fast enough. I couldn't. It was awful. It was absolutely brutal. I mean, we had guys dropping out, losing their mind. It was really bad. You know, so what can we learn from that experience? And it's simply drink lots of water starting, like, this weekend. You know, put down the put down the sodas and everything else, and let's be smart about this. Let's prehydration is key to not losing your mind. All right, here we've got another friend of the Mid-Atlantic Show on the line, host of the Monday Night Kickoff Show, Chuck Levi. What's going on, man?
What's going on, man?
Not much. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Just took a break from the fly tying table and, figured I'd call the show.
Definitely. Haywood puts up a good point. It is a national park, folks. Pack up the trash. Sorry, folks. I'm watching the Rangers-Sabres game, and I just watched the Sabres goalie just catch a puck in a nasty spot. And, yeah, it's awesome. Anyway, man, I'm stoked. I haven't done this yet, so let me get to all the people in the chat rooms. We've got Hammerhead. We've got Haywood. Mr. Mark Lozier, Michael Ortega. What's going on, Mikey? Salt Warrior, Scuba Stan. What's going on, Devil? Stuck in the Mud. I think this is the first time I've seen you on here. Welcome, man. Let everyone know who you are. I probably missed it. Welcome. And the Yakasaurus, which you're in Vermont, I believe. Correct me, please. A Fisherman of the End, which, if for you that don't know, that is Montauk, and hopefully in the next couple of years we can get a Boondoggle to Montauk. I think that would be an awesome trip. No, man. I got to quit looking at that. We've also got the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Bad Backcast, Rob DeVore. What's going on, Rob?
Hey, guys. How you doing, man? Man, that's a drag that Hammerhead's not going to make it. I was looking forward to seeing that guy. He's good people, man, and he'll definitely be sorely missed.
Yeah,
Does that open up a campsite, though?
Yes, it does open up a campsite. So, folks, if you were still trying to figure out if you wanted to go, make your reservations. It's not, the price is actually not that bad, compared to some other places. So, it's I hate to say it, but, opens up someone else to come in. Greg, like I said, man, you'll be sorely missed. You're a great guy to have around. But yeah, Site 77 will be open tomorrow. So jump on it, folks, if you want to. But back to, you know, preparing for the boondoggle. Prepare your body now, folks. Unfortunately, I screwed up my shoulder pretty bad today. It's not going to keep me from the boondoggle. But please, if you haven't paddled or done anything like that, go out and buy one of those medicine bands that you see the physical therapists use and start working on your shoulders and your arms and everything else. If you haven't paddled since, like, September. You know, get the muscles working again. You know, buy two of them. I sit in my couch with the recliner up, and I practice, you know, quote-unquote paddling. You know, just to get my body, you know, used to it if I haven't done it in, like, 2 or 3 weeks. But then again, I paddle a lot. So, let's see here. Yes, Cobbler, Gypsy Cab, what the heck, Point Verde, whatever. Anyway, sorry, folks, if you hear me drone out for a second, it's because I'm reading the chat room. I don't have the luxury of having my wife helping me. Sorry, there, loser. You know.
And what a fine cool job the losers did last night in breaking the all-time record.
That was absolutely awesome. You know, it was awful because you step away for a second, or you turn your head, you watch TV, or you look at something that, you know, they had Luther Cyphers on there last night, and, you know, he mentioned a product. You're like, oh, what is that? And you go and you look, and you're like, damn. Because you come back and, you know, you're completely out of what was going on in the chat room. It was moving that fast. I mean, if you didn't have a speed reading ability, you were pretty much SOL. So, again, you know, Mark and Chris, excellent job. You know, I think everyone, all the hosts, you know, are kind of going, wow, why can't we ever get like that? But you know, you guys did a great job. You guys are doing a great job. You know, folks, listening to the show, it's always a lot of fun. You never know when Chris might break out in German and a lot of us kind of sit there and go, what was that? But, you know, it's always a lot of fun with them. And, again, that's every Tuesday night, the Double L Show, same time as the rest of the shows, Eastern Standard at 8 o'clock. Let's see here. But, yeah, getting ready. You know, start drinking water. And I didn't, you know, don't stop drinking coffee if you need your coffee. Trust me, I need my coffee every morning. Otherwise, I am unmanageable. But, you know, start getting your body ready for that, you know, that shock. You know, you're going to be paddling, you're going to be sweating, you know, you already lost the battle of, you know, dehydration if you start to get thirsty, you know. I can't say enough, pick up one of those Camelbacks. They're pretty much, they're cheap right now. So you can go out and pick one up for, you know, $20. It'll hold a liter or 2 liters of water. Do a couple of bottles in a cooler. K2 Coolers makes a great inexpensive cooler. Yeti makes a great cooler that's going to be able to hold ice and, you know, fit in any tank well. So definitely check out both of those as options. You know, I'm going to have a cooler. I'm going to have water, frozen bottles, you know, and I'm going to pack a lot of water. Tastes like rubber, though. And that is the one thing about those Camelbacks. Buy the Camelback cleaning kit and Camelback flavors. The flavoring that
also
actually goes with the Camelback, it'll help with that rubber flavor.
Mr. Wheeler,
ahead,
also, another thing that will help with that rubber flavor is when you sanitize them with either a little bit of bleach or one of the sanitizing packets that they have. You put it in, you fill the bladder up with water, and you throw one of those taps in there and shake it up, and it turns purple. Woo! And it's great. But the best way to get rid of the any sort of a flavor or aftertaste or anything like that after you make sure you rinse it out real good and dry it out and everything, well, before you do all that, is to soak it overnight with about a tablespoon or two of baking powder, Arm & Hammer, or whatever it is that you put in your fridge to keep it fresh, and that will freshen it right up for you. I have a 3-liter and a 2-liter. I used to backpack a lot, and that was Camelback is like a really good, or any sort of a Mountain Hardware or any of those. But I used to use the Camelbacks, man. Those things just they pretty much don't leak, and they're just rock solid. It's a great thing to have.
Yeah, I was lucky enough in the Marine Corps where they started issuing them out before I left.
Nice.
And it was a major step up from canteens, and anyone who's ever had to lug around 3 or 4 canteens, and it always sucks. I hate canteens. but
even the metal ones were even worse, huh? But that was probably before your time.
That was back when Chip was fighting for the Revolutionary War in the Marine Corps.
Wow.
I had the plastic ones. They're and what we used to do was actually take Listerine, and you'd pour a couple capfuls of Listerine. Thought they were goat stomachs. a couple things of Listerine in there, and just let it soak for 3 or 4 days. A little bit of water, just to kill off any bacteria. And there was a lot of bacteria. And then if you didn't have to, if you were out in the field, you didn't have to worry because the water buffaloes were filled with chlorine for the water, so that would kill everything else. But canteens will fit a Jack and Coke very well, as some people have already mentioned. And beer does not go well in a Camelback. Not saying that I know this from experience, but when you try to suck it through the straw, you get a lot of foam, so it doesn't really work out that well. people in the chat room are cracking me up. Think of stuff like that, folks. Bugs, thermocells, spend the $40. You never know. Buy one of those big lanterns. It fits in a kayak. You could use it at the house, the next summer. So, or when you're camping next time. Definitely a great idea.
Don't forget the sunscreen and sun protection, too. In Florida, for those of you who do not know, this is February is historically the sunniest month of the year in Florida. So make sure that you wear plenty of sunscreen and bring your sun protection, your long sleeves, and your pants.
Yes.
That's definitely a biggie. Otherwise, you'll look like...
You look like me.
Last year...
I got burned really bad at the Jacksonville one.
Yeah.
So, and, it was my fault. If you're going to wear shorts, shorts are fine, folks. Just wear... like SPF 9000. Ooh, like Sabres, Rangers, sorry. That guy just got sprayed in the face. Sorry. I just lost my train of thought. But if you're going to wear shorts and you're going to wear, short sleeves, wear, heavy-duty sunscreen, reapply it often, you've only got one piece of skin. Treat her right. But let me go ahead and give a shout out to Fishing Florida Radio with Captain Mike Boudreau and Steve. Somebody help me.
Chapman,
thank you. Sorry, Steve. I just know Mike, Steve, and Boudreau. See, folks, if you got guys that are in the chat room that just want to be D's, they're doing a great job at it. But listen to Fishing Florida Radio. They're great supporters. And another fight. Yes. Sorry. folks, if you don't know, the Rangers Saber game is on NBC Universal. So where you watch, you know, listen to me run my gym, you can watch the fights. It's great. Fishing Florida Radio every Saturday morning, starting at 6 on 7:40 a.m. You can listen to it online at 7:40 a.m.com. Great show, a lot of information. I caught their show a little later from last week. Unfortunately, I didn't get the whole show. What's that?
7:40thegame.com.
7:40 the game. Thank you. Somebody said the heart, and that's what got stuck in my head. But a great show.
Or fishingfloridaradio.com.
Thank you. Fishing Florida Radio. That's what I was looking for. See, instead of people trying to distract me in the chat room, they should be you know, supplying me information. You know, geez. But definitely check them out. It's a great show. Great supporters of Kayak Fishing Radio. You know, and the info that they have, folks, don't just, you know, compete with, you know, don't just apply to Florida, but techniques and ideas that you could use in Virginia, in New Hampshire, in Texas, Louisiana, in the Great Lakes, freshwater fishing. They hit it all, folks, so definitely check it out. It's a great, great website. Or great show, I should say. And they broadcast it, so it's even cooler. Okay. Don't get flustered. Yeah, too late, Jack. Let's see here. We've talked about safety stuff, and it's probably going to get harped on a lot more. Let's go to tackle. What should we be expecting? Chuck, you're now the resident Florida guy, along with Rob. Explain to me fishing around mangroves. I don't think anyone's talked about how to, if you've never fished around a mangrove before, I raise my hand. Okay, I have never fished around a mangrove, folks. But, Chuck, explain to me how you'd go into learning how to fish around a mangrove. Just the simplest, you know, things that everyone should know.
Well, first thing you got to know, especially about down there, is that the mangroves go back like 10 feet. The water goes underneath those mangroves like 10 feet before it hits sand. So one of the hardest things to do is to get those fish to come out of the mangroves to feed. And that kind of holds true for fishing south of me down around Sebastian area at times. I would say definitely one thing to expect to do is lose a lot of tackle. You're going to lose a lot of lures trying to pitch up into the mangroves and that kind of thing. It's just going to happen. So, what I would do right now is I would start to practice casting. I think Mike's just said it there, practice. I would definitely start practicing your casting abilities. Put up a target outside your house or whatever and pretend that that's the edge of the mangrove trees and try and do your best to get it to that target and, you know, go with it. I know there's a bait shop there, and I know most of us are kind of anti using live bait. However, it would probably behoove you to buy yourself a few dozen shrimp or whatever live bait fish they may sell there and even float them underneath a cork over towards the groves.
So that's kind of
keeping it simple.
If how far of a cast am I looking at? You know, is it like a pitch like I'm bass fishing where I'm pitching 20 feet? Or is it going to be, you know, one of those where I'm launching it, you know, 20, 30 yards?
Yeah, no, you're going to have opportunities to pitch just a couple of maybe 15, 20 feet to the structure itself. And then you're going to also find yourself wanting to get a long cast, sometimes even parallel with mangroves. It's usually the way I like to fish more. I personally like to fish at the mangroves and skip baits up underneath the we almost said it at the exact same time, Mike. Skip baits up underneath the trees themselves. If you haven't skipped or if you don't know how to skip a bait, go down your local pond or lake or waterway and practice that. It's basically the same idea as skipping a rock across the water. If you think of the way that your arm motion would kind of like drop down low and kind of just chuck that rock across the surface, it's kind of the same thing.
Right.
But yeah, you want to get that bait back up into those trees as far as you can, especially for the snook that are going to be up in there, mangrove snappers, small goliath groupers, whatever else is hiding in and around the mangroves itself. The tarpon, I don't think we're going to have an issue with mangrove trees unless they get you to the mangrove trees. But almost all mangrove trees have stuff growing on them, whether they're oysters or not oysters, but mussels and barnacles and such. So if you're going to fish not on the flats, if you're going to target those mangrove areas, you definitely want to bump up your leader to something a little bit more substantial than the typical 12 that we would use on the flats, because it just takes a slight rub on any one of those mangrove limbs hanging in the water to bust that 12 easy. So, you know, might even think about bumping up to 20. Down there, I would probably even say using 25 or even 30 pound wouldn't be bad if we're getting into those big fish. I know Chip just said that there's a gentleman down there catching some big snook. You know, I'm hoping for big snook, but I'm going to be realistic and say that I'm probably going to find a bunch of dinks, and that's fine with me. But I'm still going to want to fish a heavier leader. But that's definitely something that you want to try and do. The live bait thing, though, man, if you want to keep it simple and you're not comfortable casting underneath mangrove trees and two of the trees, live bait is essential. You know, if you have a cast net, bring it down with you. Fill up a live well full of whatever kind of white bait you can find, whether that's pilchards or thread fins or greenies or whatever, and take a handful of them out at a time and smack them on the head and throw them out there so they spin around on the surface. And a lot of times that'll draw the snook and stuff out of the mangroves and make them a little bit easier to cast to. But, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun, man. You're going to lose a lot of fish. You're going to lose a lot of gear. It's just the way it is. I like to call it like war zone fishing. It's all or nothing, man. Don't worry about light drags and, you know, finesse fishing or finesse fighting a fish in. I mean, as soon as you feel a bite, you need to rip his face off and put a hole in his jaw and pull him out of the mangroves to give yourself a sporting chance. But, you know, I think after the first day, I think after the first tide flow, everybody will kind of figure it out.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
I hope so.
So here's my question for you. Do you skip with bait casting or spinning tackle?
I skip with spinning tackle. It's just much easier, and I've never had any success trying to do it with a bait caster. I always end up working with a freaking bird's nest at the end of the day if I try and do that.
Right.
So, but, you know, like I say, we're going to be able to get back up into some tight spots and things like that. And as Mike's saying, the tide's going to be a big factor. As the tide starts to drop, you might want to position yourself on a corner where these fish are going to be kind of like scooting out and trying to get away from the shallow water as it falls. And should be good, man. Should be good. I'm just really stoked. I'm really excited about the idea of just fly fishing. I want to bust out the fly rod as much as I can. And, you know, I don't know. I think it's going to be killer. I think we're going to find probably more species of fish in this area than I think out of any of the boondoggles that's been held yet. And I was talking with Rob, I think, about it, and I was like, you know, no, maybe it was Adam, I don't remember, whatever, I talked to all you guys so much. I think it would be cool to do, like, put together a small prize for whoever catches the most species during the trip. That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, that would be awesome. You know, but back to the skipping. Folks, if you've never skipped before, Chuck made a great point. Practice now. And then practice sitting down in your kayak. Unless you're Greg, where you can cast, you know, in the 360 degree direction overhand, and no matter what, your bait's going to skip on the ice. Sorry, Greg, but practice skipping. practice your skips. I spend days on the water. I have spent days on the water in the past 2 months practicing skipping with a baitcaster. Am I proficient at it? Somewhat. But
folks, skip with a spinning reel. It'll be much easier on you, and I'll put together something when we get down to Boondoggle to show how to skip.
Hey, one thing that you got to remember too, Mark, is you got to use the right bait to skip too. I don't know about you, but do you remember when I was a bass fishing guy, one of the big baits was a sluggo. Okay, it's kind of like a hoagie, but they're a little bit smaller. And those things were great for skipping, man. No matter, you know, you could get those things up under anything, you know, if you had to practice a little bit. But that was probably the easiest bait. Another one that's good for that is the DOA, God, what do they call it, a fluke, I think. I forget exactly what it's called, but those are good with no jig head on it, too. You just put a weedless worm hook on there and rig it kind of Carolina rigged, and you can whip those things up under mangroves, I mean, you know, easy.
Right.
But,
and that's the thing. When you're skipping, you're not going to be able to skip with a jerk bait, you know, with a hard bait. It's very difficult. I've done it, you know, a couple of times when I'm bass fishing, but folks, it is a pain in the rump. But soft plastics and live bait, especially your flat-sided bait like the pilchards, croaker, and spot, but they've got a flat side to them, and you can get them just right, you can skip those things like a champ. But I'll go over that more at the Boondoggle. Go ahead, man.
But, yeah, like the mangroves that you want to fish, I mean, you can't just go fish something where there's, you know, sand right there on the edge of the mangroves and it's, you know, 2 inches deep, you know, 20 feet out. That's not the kind of mangrove edge you want to fish. You want to fish something with some deep water to it. If it's got a deep edge to it, either I like deep water all the way up to the mangroves if I can find it, or my other favorite one is where it'll be sand and it'll come out like maybe 5 feet from the mangrove, and then there's this trough and it drops out. It's kind of like a little tidal wash, and it might be, you know, a foot or two deep. And a lot of times the fish, if there's oyster bars in the area where around the edges of those troughs, that's where the fish are going to be, man, either in front on the ends of the oyster bars that are associated with a lot of mangroves are they have, like, on either end of it will be a little washout kind of where current has kind of swept it out and everything, deep little depression on either end of that. Sometimes it's in the front, but a lot of times you'll see I'll fish mangrove islands with that trough, and that's great. You just cast past the trough and pull it back in, you know, reel it back real quick, and then just drop it into that trough, and that's where the fish are a lot, man. That's a two of my favorite tactics, fishing mangroves, man.
Right. So basically it's like a little slough that's created from water passing over that creates that little drop-off next to or underneath those mangrove overhangs, correct?
Yeah, and depending on the tide, if it's, you know, incoming or, you know, depending on the stage of the tide and how much water is in there, you know, if you have a trough and then at high tide it's going to push up into those mangroves, those fish are going to stage in that trough. So that's a, you know, they're just going to hang out there a little bit because it's in a lot of areas that we fish, that'll be the area with, like, the most water. So chances are that's one of the only places that fish are going to have to go.
Right.
But as far as the Boondoggle is concerned, you know, that area, I mean, I've never fished down there before, but that place, the Everglades, I call it the Everglades, is basically it's a giant nursery for fish, everything. And this time of year, on this coast is where the juvenile mangrove snapper are like the perfect size for your perfect bait fish size. You know, they're like 2.5-3 inches long. And there's the mangroves should be full of them, man. Those
right.
It's just a great area. So if you can find a pattern that mimics either by fly or by soft plastic or live target lure or whatever it is that you're using, anything that's going to mimic a juvenile mangrove snapper is going to be the way to go.
Now, what coloration is that?
Well, these also are they just pretty much look like miniature versions of the adults. They're a little bit on the lighter side, but they're primarily brownish silver, and they got some stripes, kind of like sheep's head do. Also, juvenile
right.
sheep's head are going to be about the same size too, and that place will probably be full of them.
Okay.
And they just look just like the adults too. So anything that you can find to mimic something like that, a little brownish and silver, and something with some stripes, maybe some grizzly. You know, if you're, for your fly tires out there, some grizzly stuff. You know, in a brown. You know, grizzly hackles and things like that. That'll do nice. Grizzly hackle deceivers and things.
Right. Chuck, quick question for you, man. What would be your, if you were going to use, you know, a jig head with a paddle tail, what would you go with? What size?
What size?
Yeah.
Size depends a lot upon what I'm trying to really catch, and it, I know that sounds kind of silly. Elephants eat peanuts, so a big fish will eat a small bait. However, you know, I just, that 3.5-4 inch size to me is ideal for just about everything. I mean, you guys, another thing people got to think about too that are going to join us is, you know, what do you want in a target? Because that's really going to depict, right? I mean, depend upon where you're going to fish. You're not going to fish way back up into the stuff if you're trying to target trout and reds and that kind of thing. That's really going to be more like the tarpon and the snook kind of haunts. But, you know, to me, that paddle tail is just deadly, man. It mimics every kind of bait fish that's out there. And as far as colors go for me, definitely the Arkansas Glow is a good one. From DOA, Bass Assassin makes a couple of good ones. The Drunk Monkey, the Molting, you know, there's a few. I'm not a big fan of chartreuse stuff, and that's just really me. But I've kind of become a believer in it in the last couple of trips I've had. So you know, it's just one of those things, man. I just I don't know. I think that the essentials for me in soft plastic world are going to be having a pretty good assortment of jerk baits, paddle tails, of course. Jig heads are going to be used in the right conditions. I'm not going to throw jig heads into the mangrove trees. You're just going to lose them. I'm going to use 3-0 style weedless worm hooks for weedless jerkbait hooks for the shad tails in the trees. But you know, and keep things light, man. Don't come down. Don't bring quarter ounce and half ounce and crazy sized jig heads to fish the flats. I mean, it's cannonballs hitting the water. I mean, it's not natural. So you want all of your baits to be as natural as possible. And I know Chip's going to bring down his dynamite and hand grenades. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have some fun with that. And you know, the one thing that we haven't really talked much about was about the sharks. I know that I think Haywood was saying that there's a good assortment of sharks that should be hanging around there at night. And you know, bring your tackle. Don't rely on catching a 6-foot bull shark or whatever, or a nurse shark or a lemon shark on a 7-foot trout rod, because you're going to be asking everybody if you can bum some line off them the next morning. And
right,
you know, just, you know, come prepared. You know, don't bring a pellet gun to an elephant fight. We're fishing for fish that are strong, much stronger than probably anything most of y'all have dealt with in these backcountry waters, especially the snook. So you're going to, you know, you're gonna hook fish that are gonna basically make you feel like a little schoolgirl, and it's gonna happen. All of us are gonna eventually probably get broke off a few times. So you know, with that in mind, be prepared. I have watched people I've fished with and guided on trips, constantly adjusting the drag, And to me, it doesn't make any sense. Like, just leave it. Don't mess with it. Don't try and set it with your fingers. Just when you're fishing that tight quarter stuff, tighten it. Rip their face off, and you can always adjust it when they try to run away from you. Plus we're in sweats, you know. Don't forget that. We're basically the drag. So if a fish decides he wants to run down the channel, he's going to drag you down the channel. Just let him do it, you know.
Which you bring up a good point. And folks, if you're using, you know, mono, don't, please. There's going to be way too much stretch. For when you try to pull that fish out of those mangroves, use the right stuff. Use either heavy duty 20 to 25 pound fluorocarbon. If you're, you know, you don't like braid. If you like braid, no more, you know, don't go any less than 30 pounds. Tighten them drags up, and let the fish pull you. It'll tire them out quicker, get them to the boat faster, for a safer release.
I think you can go with lighter braid. I don't think you have to go heavy on the braid. I'll be honest, my setup is going to be simple. It's going to be the rods I normally fish with, which are 7-foot medium action rods. I'm going to fish probably 15-pound braid with a 20-pound leader, fluorocarbon more than likely, like as you say, for a little bit less stress, stretch. And, you know, just rip their face off. That's the key. It's just as soon as you feel that bite, just set the hook like a Bassmaster champion and crank it so you can't crank no more. And when you finally dig them out of those mangrove trees or get them away from the edge and they come out in the open water, they're going to want to get back in those trees again. And just, you know, hang on. Good luck. That's all there is to it, you know. Be either prepared with your anchor or your shallow water anchor, because you're going to need to stop yourself, because they'll just drag you right into the trees and you'll never get them out.
Right, and last thing you want to do is have a fish in the mangroves with 20 feet of braid or fluoro sticking out of his mullet. Mike Ortega says, take some heavy leader, of course. Noodles the seal cat. What are you talking about, Salt?
He wants the noodles for seal cat. Let's do it.
What's a seal cat?
What's a sail cat?
You know what a sail cat is?
A sail cat is probably the only saltwater catfish that I would eat, the gaff top sail cat. They're actually not bad eating, man. They're really good, and they're aggressive as hell. I've caught them on topwater plugs before. They're not bad. So there you go. But
cool.
We get liquored up enough, I might just try some gaff top noodling. I'll end up with a lemon shark missing a hand.
When you go from Redfish Chuck to Two Finger Chuck.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, my God.
Let's see here. Something that I just reminded myself on, because I just looked at them. Sunglasses, folks. If you're bringing small kids or you live in the Great White North, and you've been in, you know, it's dark and dingy all the time, please wear sunglasses. You can get a sunburn on your eyeballs. That's the reason that I can't go outside anymore without sunglasses on, where I can't be in dark, you know, in bright light.
You know firsthand.
I know firsthand very, very well. And you will wish you died when you get that sunburn on your eyes. I can guarantee you. But wear sunglasses, it'll help you see the fish, it'll give you, it won't hurt your eyes as bad, it will be bright, it will be sunny. Yes, I am the poster child for sunburns. If you could get sunburn on your body, I have gotten it. So please wear sunglasses. It'll be a much better time for you if you're not worried about your eyes hurting and getting headaches. What color lenses? Yeah, copper or gray. You know, Costa Del Mar makes a great pair of sunglasses that you can get that will, you know, keep the yellow, you know, light out or whatever they call it, the 580Ps. Spend the money on them. You'll never go to another sunglasses. You know, if you're cheap like Chuck, you probably buy, you know, the Walmart special.
Dude, I
get them polarized, please.
Coast to Del Mar's, brother. That ain't me.
Good joke, brother.
I know.
But you know,
poke it out.
Get polarized. What's that?
Coconut feet.
Like Benjamin Button.
You could be like Mark and wear Crocs and not wear any undergarments underneath your Crocs and end up with feet that look like Dalmatians.
Hey, those red and white Dalmatians were a great accessory to my sandals the next week, okay? Don't be jealous. But yes, go out and buy flats, boots, old shoes, so you're not getting sunburned on top of the foot. Me, I'm a glutton for punishment, so I'm going to wear sandals. No, I'm kidding. Please, you know, think of what we're going to be at. Look at aerial photography and see those sandbars and the oyster bars and everything else, and protect yourself, please, folks. We don't want anyone to get hurt or have a bad time because of sunburn or shark biting off their fingers while they're noodling for seal cats. God. or getting bitten by an alligator. Please, folks, don't screw with the wildlife, i.e. alligators, unless you're Stan's wife, who does it for a living.
Crocodiles down there, too.
Crocs, alligators, whatever. Dinosaurs, okay? I'm not talking about Yakisaurus or Chip. All right? Stay away from the dinosaurs, please. All right. With that, go over, you know, Rob, are you fishing this weekend?
I'm not sure yet. It remains to be seen. I still got to... one thing, since my brother moved to Tampa, I need my resident dog sitter is out of business for me. So my buddy Keith is gonna get our dogs together, his dog and my dog, and see if they'll get along. And if that's the case, I got a dog sitter for the Boondoggle. So that's my primary focus this weekend. Might take a couple of trips out looking for some tackle and whatnot. So we'll see. Jakes and things of that nature.
Right. Cool. Oh, you know, time to start getting ready now.
Absolutely.
Take care of all that.
I've been getting ready. And just want to put out the shout out to folks if you want to, if you need camping gear for the Boondoggle. I have plenty of tents and everything, so if you need something, let me know, and I'll see if I have it. You're more than welcome to it. Just let me know ahead of time, so I'll bring it. I'm not bringing a bunch of stuff if I don't have to, so
right.
Let me know.
All right, man. Great. Next is Chip. You doing any fishing, or are you going to be getting ready or stocking up?
I'm reconfiguring the trailers this weekend.
Right.
Just about got it done. Go ahead.
Speaking of trailers, don't you have a someone special for your show tomorrow night?
Yeah, we got Colin Malone from Malone Auto Racks. He's going to join us tomorrow night. We're going to talk about the options for toting your kayaks and trailers, roof racks, things like that. So, great company there. I think I got about 10,000 miles on my Malone sport trailer now. It's a 2009 model. And so, yeah, he's going to be with us tomorrow night. So, y'all join us and it'll be fun.
Cool. Awesome, man.
I love talking about racks.
Chuck, you,
That's broken.
First,
I'm
going to
see about...
Rack.
Yeah, I,
I know you're coming to me. Going to see if I can get somebody to watch the little ones and go play with some American Shad with
awesome.
Captain Mike Ortego and Steve Chapman to see what we can find. I've never caught a shad on rod and reel, and it's definitely something that I want to try and do. So we'll see if I can make that happen. Hopefully I can. And I have a special guest coming up on my Monday night show.
Okay.
Actually, I want to thank Rob for helping me put that together. I've got Aaron Adams, who is the president of the Bonefish Tarpon Trust, is going
awesome.
To be joining me on the radio. He's also a marine biologist and works over at the Moat Marine Institute. So that should be pretty cool, man. Super stoked about that. I'm a big fan of all the things those guys have going on. You guys know I like to catch those little ditch tarpon, and I'm going to talk to him a little bit about that and kind of pick his brain and see what he thinks about my theory on where those little fish are coming from. So it should be a lot of fun.
He's also going to send us a care package to pass out stuff at the Boondoggle, too.
Oh,
talk
very
to him
cool.
today.
Very cool. Thank you very much for that. But
are you somewhere where you can pick that stuff up, Chuck, by the way?
Where is he?
You know what? I'll have to check and see, but we'll talk about it later.
Just get with me later. He can get with me. He can send it to my house if he needs to. It's probably cheaper than sending it to you, but it makes no sense. But
yeah.
Anyway, I've got another cool thing going on for me. I was asked today to join forces with the folks from BloodyDex.com. If you guys have never been, not dicks, but Dex. If you've never been to BloodyDex.com, check it out. It is one of the coolest all-around fishing sites that I think I've ever
yes.
seen. I've been a fan of theirs for a long time, and a buddy of mine, Derek, Redwine actually invited me to kind of join forces with them. I'll have a whole bunch of cool stuff to pass out at the Boondoggle from those guys, some stickers and koozies and stuff. So do me a favor, if you're not on their forums, please do so. And when you enlist yourself to be a part of that, in the bottom of the application deal, it'll say who referred you. Put my name in there if you don't mind. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Good looking
folks,
out.
If you don't know about Bloody Dex, they started back in 2005, I'm going to say. There was actually several different little websites out of San Diego and Southern California. Bloody Dex, Saltwater Bastards, and San Diego Bay Fishing Club. Yes, that's the other one. But the only one that's really left is Bloody Dex. Folks, they were leading the charge for the MLPAs, you know, to get them to, you know, where we wanted them. Granted, we didn't win. Great deals on Avid. If you don't know about Uni Butter, pick you up some. It'll change your bottom fishing forever. Tommy Gomez, you know, deals. I mean, just check out Bloody Dex. Awesome stuff. And the swag is too cool for school. So, yeah, folks, definitely check out Bloody Dex. Great group of guys there. It's good to see that you got on there, Chuck. I mean, BD is awesome.
Yeah, super pumped, man. Those guys are just trying to bring what they do in California over here and on the East Coast, mainly in Florida. And, you know, Derek's been a good friend of mine for a long time. Derek started Boldwater.
Yeah.
Boldwater.com and Boldwater apparel and such, and he's actually the guy who started their website for them. He was their webmaster, so to speak. Now he works full time
right.
for them. So, but and Derek is really good friends with Jose Wajeve, and I'm really trying to push the envelope to try and get Jose on my show. So we'll see, but I don't think Jose's got any interest in kayak fishing. We'll find out.
Yeah, and I'm going to sheepishly say this. It's been about 3 months since I've been on Bloody Dex. And, folks, their website has just
They revamped it. It is just too cool for school now. Before it was, how bloody could the screen be at some points, but now it's really slick. Wow. Really nice.
80,000 followers they have.
Yep. They used to have, where you were on the registration thing. I think it was like number 175 or something like that. This Blaze X is awesome, awesome website. Support them. Blaze X supports us. They've been helping us out with KFR, and I can't say enough about them, Ari and the guys. But cool, man. That's great to hear. What else? Nah, I just brain farted again. With that being said, let's... Does anybody in the chat room want to say anything? All right.
Hey, listen to... make sure you listen to the Fish and Florida Radio guys this Saturday. They've got a packed show. It's going to be awesome.
Awesome. Yeah. Mike, thank you for showing up, man. It's a privilege to have you on there, Mr. Ortega. And Boudreaux and Steve Chapman, thank you again, guys. I can't say that enough. But with that, time for my shameless plugs. And I have to give it out to Jackson Kayak. They got me my Cuda and Coosa in record time. Great boats. I can't say. I don't know why I ever paddled anything else. Definitely check out JacksonKayak.com. And take a look at the Cuda and Coosa, and coming up later in the year, the Big Tuna is actually going to be an excellent boat. I'm about ready to pre-order mine here soon. So definitely check that out. Cool. YakAngler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing resource, folks. Please go on there and... take a look. A lot of great info, a lot of good people. We can really help you out. We had Yakasaurus on the show tonight in the chat room. He's a new member, and me and him talked today, and he was more than happy with his responses that he's gotten, and his knowledge base is just growing every day. So check out YakAngler.com. Irish Water Dogs. Folks, if you don't know, now you know. Check out Irish Water Dogs. They support so many organizations, from Wounded Warrior Project to Heroes on the Water to Project Healing Waters. Please help them out and support them. They make some great swag to wear out on the water, and just a good group of guys to fish with if you can. They're out of Jacksonville. Please check out IrishWaterDogs.com. Please check out Chuck's Kayak Fishing Adventures. Support Chuck. Support his, great guy. You can hear him on the show, folks. He knows what he's talking about, and that is what you want to see from a kayak guide. Excellent stuff there. Mr. Roger, while I'm talking about Chuck and Dee, can you put up your guiding service on the, if you have one, I know you're having one, but, check out Chuck's Kayak Adventures. Excellent guide to have out there. Dee Kaminsky, folks. If you don't know this woman, personally, I wish I fished like Dee. I wish I fished like a girl. She is the trout queen, soon to be the black drum queen, from what she's been telling us, that she's found the black drum and she can get him to bite. So definitely check her out. Awesome stuff there. So here, KayakKevin.com. Great stuff there. Great video. Check it out. Mark just put his up. It's first one ST, the number one ST landing, yakfish.com. Folks, fish with Mark Lozier. He is one of the best trout guys in Southside Virginia and North Carolina, in my eyes. I've looked at his stuff through TKA, also joined TKA. Great stuff there. Great guy, great guide. You will learn a lot, and we'll have a lot of fun.
I think that is my shameless plugs. You know, Aquabound paddles. Anyone else? Anyone? Nope. All right. With that, thank you everyone for showing up, Stuck in the Mud. Sorry I didn't, you know, catch your name. Pleasure having you on. Mr. Ortega, again, an absolute honor to have you on here. Greg, I really wish you could make it up to the boondoggle, but we understand. Mr. Lozier, get up, get back home safe. And the rest of the crew, thank you very much for showing up. And with that, I say adieu. Remember, folks, always wear your PFD. Always wear your support for your local clubs. Get fishing and stay safe. All right, folks, with that, I say goodbye. Have a great time. And I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend on the water. Catch you later, folks.